The Unshackled Waves, episode 264.
Broadcasting from Melbourne, Australia, this is The Unshackled Waves with Tim Wills, brought to you by theunshackled.net.
Hello everyone, great to have your company. Last year, the world gained another bombastic populist and nationalist world leader who sent the political elites into another tailspin. In Brazil's 2018 presidential election, Jair Bolsonaro, a well-known political maverick, he beat 11 other candidates, breaking the centre-left's grip on the nation's politics. Bolsonaro was labelled a fascist by the left and the international media, but in Brazil he has introduced free market reforms, reducing the size of government, rolling back the influence of cultural Marxism on the nation, and empowering individual Brazilians. While Bolsonaro was in attendance at the G7 summit last month in France, he copped a serve from French President Emmanuel Macron due to the annual wildfires in the Amazon rainforest. Macron said this was a global environmental issue as the Amazon was the lungs of the world. Bolsonaro rebuffed any foreign interference over Brazil's sovereignty over the Amazon, calling it colonialism and imperialism. The Western media in response posted endless hysterical fake news stories claiming that the Amazon was going to be completely destroyed and that Bolsonaro was basically an environmental criminal. Brazil, being a Latin American nation which Portuguese as its local language, it is very difficult for those in the West to know the real story about Bolsonaro's revolution in Brazil and how he is transforming the nation. Well, thankfully, I know someone who can tell the real story about Brazil's new beginning. Professor Augusto Zimmermann, who has been a guest on this show before. He was born and grew up in Brazil, but is most known in Australia for his distinguished legal academic career. He's currently a professor and dean of law at Sheridan College, a Christian liberal arts college in Perth, Western Australia. He is also an adjacent professor of law at the University of Notre Dame's Sydney campus, a Catholic university. Professor Zimmermann has previously been a law reform commissioner with the Law Reform Commission of Western Australia and a former associate dean and postgraduate research director at Murdoch's University School of Law. Professor Zimmermann is also the founder and president of the West Australian Legal Theory Association. He's also a former vice president of the Australian Society of Legal Philosophy, a fellow at the International Academy for the Study of the Jurisprudence of the Family, and he's also editor-in-chief of the Western Australian Juris Law Journal. He is a regular columnist in the Australian media, in the Spectator Australia, Quadrant Online and Newsweekly, as well as right here on The Unshackled. He has also authored four academic books, including No Offence Intended, Why 18C is Wrong, along with Joshua Forrester and Lorraine Finlay, plus three volumes of Christian Foundations of the Common Law, all published by Conacourt Publishing. He has always been a great friend of ours, so it's great to have him back on the show today to discuss this very important global political story. Augusto, welcome back to the show.
Tim, it's a great pleasure to be back with you again.
Now, as your surname Zimmermann suggests, it's a Hispanic name. You're Brazilian born, but most of your commentary is very much focused on Australian politics and legal issues. You're very much an Australian now, but as a native Brazilian, you still have plenty to say about the political revolution happening there, which I'll get to in a moment. But I think our audience and me personally would like to know about your time in Brazil, what everyday life was like, and of course, why you chose to emigrate.
Well, I was an academic in my native country, already an academic. I was a professor of constitutional law in one of the universities in Rio de Janeiro, and was very disappointed with the reaction of my peers when we had that terrible tragedy that took place in New York. And I have just realized, I had realized then that my worldview was very different from the worldview of my fellow academics, who took delight in blaming the victim for what happened on that terrible occasion. So I decided that it would be better for me to leave the country because I had lost my hope for the country since the politics in Brazil seemed to be completely hijacked by the extreme left, which has been controlling the country for about 20 years or more. I would say that ever since the military relinquished power, Brazil has been dreadfully, dreadfully ruled by a very corrupt left-wing regime.
2001, what you're referring to, the 9/11 attacks, in the decade after that, it was well noted in the news that Latin American politics had moved to the left. That's when a lot of the mainstream media thought Hugo Chavez, he was the new poster boy for socialism. There was Bolivia and Chile elected socialist leaders. And yeah, it's quite sad that you felt the need that there was no hope there. And it's been well documented over the years of Brazil's decline. There's been a lot of corruption in government, and this is after the nation returned to democracy in 1985. The World Cup in 2014 and the Olympic Games in 2016 were meant to showcase Brazil to the world, but the locals did not want it just because of the extravagance and all the money that was being siphoned off. And a lot of Brazilian cities are noted for their crime and poverty. So definitely the stage was set for Brazilians to seek some sort of political savior.
Yes, indeed. But in many ways, Lula, the previous president, was a populist leader, a very corrupt, left-wing, charismatic leader, who was engaged in very incestuous relationships with very dangerous and corrupt and even evil, I would say, regimes all over the world, including Iran, including Syria, and including Libya. One of the former president's best friend was Muhammad Gaddafi. Muhammad Gaddafi, or something like that, that dictator in Libya. And he was also having very strange connections with the government of the Ayatollahs in Iran. So, even to the point of organizing criminal organizations all over the world to destabilize democracies. He was the founder of the notorious São Paulo Forum, which congregated the worst characters in the world, guerrilla lords, narco-traffic guerrilla lords, very radical left-wing regimes. They were assembled in this organization with the purpose of destabilizing democratic regimes all over the world. Brazil, during the Workers' Party regime, was financially sponsoring Cuba and Venezuela and many other tyrannical regimes that have undermined the basic rights of the people in these countries. And of course, the left-wing media, the mainstream media was completely silent about this promotion of gross violations of human rights by this extremely corrupt and evil government that Brazilians had until quite recently.
Yes, this is the first time I've heard about that. And Brazil, it's not a small country. It's despite its problems, it's an economic powerhouse, and so it's a world superpower that doesn't get the same scrutiny that a place like the United States or the United Kingdom does.
Yes, indeed. And it's a very strange thing that the media was silent about all these violations of human rights. And also the fact that the Workers' Party employed thousands and thousands of their supporters, basically establishing a one-party system in the country, whereby if you work for the government and you belong to the Workers' Party, the governing party, you would be forced to give about 10% of your salary to this political machine. Another thing that led to the election of Bolsonaro is the fact that there is no equality before the law in Brazil, whereby I would say the elite has a different sort of rules to be applied to these privileged individuals. They are retired under a different model, where they can sometimes receive even a bigger salary as to what they would receive having normal, still working. When they retired, the salaries would not be altered, so they would actually live in a very comfortable way. But the rest of the population would receive peanuts and would live in destitution. So he's trying to reform regime, now the system. And there are so many people who are, you know, opposed to this because they are they have been the benefactors of the regime.
Hearing like the actual intricacies of corruption and patronage, I mean, that's abhorrent to, you know, socialists talk about equality, but that's cronyism and something that we used to think was confined to just the Soviet Union.
Well, not only that, but the Workers' Party regime, if I can put it like that, started with a series of very strange phenomena taking place, including the assassination of some undesirable politicians who could perhaps expose these connections of the Workers' Party with very strange characters and very dangerous organizations. There was even the mayor of a city in São Paulo state who got assassinated as a result of this. And of course, there was a cover-up. And you cannot forget that the current president also almost lost his life as an attempt to kill him in order to perpetuate the status quo.
Yes, that, are you referring to the one during the campaign when he was stabbed or another one?
He was miraculously saved by a very competent medical doctor, but knife was just 1 millimeter away from his heart, and it was a miracle, or better saying, his lungs. But everybody says that it was a miracle that he survived. Well, and now they are claiming that this person is mentally ill. Well, surprise, surprise, that's what they would do. I will not be surprised, I'm telling this to your listeners, if the person who attempted to kill the current president end up being assassinated in order to, burn the files so that the truth will not be released.
Now, that does sound familiar to what sometimes happens in the West. Now, Jair Bolsonaro, his presidential campaign had the feel of a political outsider, but he was a career politician, first elected to the federal Brazilian parliament post his military career in 1991, though throughout his career he'd been an outspoken nationalist and social conservative and a very anti-communist and anti-socialist. So he was a maverick from the day he arrived.
He was indeed, and it's a very important point, the one that you have just made. But we have to bear in mind that he has always been a colorful character because he has been more outspoken than any other politician. Sometimes he behaves like very much in the style of the American president. And he is very unashamed of making some very bold statements. But another thing that he does that's very important is to actually explain the context of the military regime. On one way, in a certain way, we could say that he saved democracy in Brazil, because if the left-wing candidate had won this election, that would be the end of the country. I don't think Brazil could afford having 4 more years of that sort of corrupt, terribly oppressive left-wing government. So he saved the country from destruction. We would become like Brazilians, would become like the Venezuelans or the people in Bolivia. It would be a terrible reality that would probably destroy the economy of the country. Brazil is, economically speaking, a powerhouse. And this would be spelling the death of the country. So he saved Brazil from destruction by becoming the president. We couldn't afford another 4 years of that oppressive socialist regime. But on the other hand, he is honest enough to say that we faced a similar reality in the 1960s, when the military were called by the middle class in Brazil to save the country from the communist threat that was very real. If it were not for the military, what we would have in Brazil would be similar as to what happened in Cuba. The communists had already taken the advantage of having connections with a very weak president that was ruling over Brazil, and he had employed in his government many communists who were actually conspiring 24 hours to turn the country into another communist country. And the military were called by the Brazilian society to save the country from these people. But of course, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And the military ended up doing things that I consider to be quite socialist. For instance, they left government with 500 state-owned companies. And in many ways, to be a conservative in Brazil is not to be a liberal, is to be a supporter of big government and nationalism. I think the good thing about Bolsonaro is that, and that's actually a miracle, that I'm very surprised by his approach in this area, but he's promising a process of privatization of companies and reduction of the size of the state, because the state in Brazil remains very big. And the more you have the presence of the state in whatever people do, the more you have the opportunities for corruption and a very high taxation system. It's very hard to be a businessman in Brazil because the taxes remain very high in the country. And the only way that you can have a more open economy is to reduce the size of the state and reduce the tax burden upon the citizens of that country.
Yes, you don't need to tell me about the benefits of economic liberalization. But as you said, the fact that he got elected, well, it shows that Brazil still has a degree of democracy and that the people were wanting change. Now, most of the world came to know Bolsonaro during the presidential campaign and all of the colorful things that he said. I think he's probably more outrageous, the things he says, than what Trump says. Obviously, the comments that I wouldn't want a gay son or having a daughter would be weakness. He said to a female politician, I wouldn't rape you. And then he's made comments about indigenous people and their will to reproduce. So it's way, way more controversial than anything Trump's ever said. I'm not sure if sort of in Brazilian politics you can sort of make that make sort of more outlandish statements, but when people
I think it reflects the state of the nation in many ways, what was left behind. If you think about the United States, Trump is a controversial character, but America had, prior to Trump, not faced the sort of regime that Brazilians had to cope with for more than 20 years. So it's almost like to have a situation where people are getting more upset about what happened. And I think that reflects in the internal politics of the country, and Trump and Bolsonaro are good examples of the level of dissatisfaction with the political elites that were running the show for such a long time. I think what Trump and Bolsonaro do is to read the mood of the people. And they are actually seeing that people are very unhappy with the reality of things as they are. And sometimes end up making exaggerated comments, some must say. But what we have to bear in mind is that the worst person in terms of competence and abilities in Bolsonaro's government, some people would claim it is Bolsonaro himself, because Bolsonaro adopts a very wise policy, that is to employ people who are better than him. So one thing you have to bear in mind, it's similar to what is happening in America, is that the ministerial team of Bolsonaro is highly competent, and they are clearly doing an amazing job. So it doesn't really matter so much what Bolsonaro says, but what the government does. And as a matter of fact, the government is doing, so far, doing an outstanding job. And of course, this gives him the support of the people, because by liberalizing the economy and reestablishing the rule of law and law and order, that was a major issue in the country, because after all, the left always thinks that criminals are the victims of the capitalist society, when Brazil didn't even have such a thing. But Bolsonaro is putting law and order. It's reducing the size of the state, trying to reduce taxes, and doing this reform in the pension system. So it's basically all the changes that are so necessary to bring about equality before the law and freedoms in general to the people of Brazil. So I think in many ways the government that he, the equipe, that the team that he has created or established surrounding him is doing a marvelous job so far. But of course, it's just the beginning of his government. I might be changing my assessment in 4 years, but so far, so good.
You make an important point there, that obviously the electorate, they see politicians or candidates like Bolsonaro and Trump and their rhetoric refreshing, but the reason that they won is because there's meat on the bones. They've got substantial policies, and as you mentioned, behind the scenes, the people that he's got as ministers and in the public service, they just quietly get on with the job, while their opponents are just ranting in the media and getting offended all the time, while the real business is just getting on with.
Absolutely, and sometimes, of course, amongst these different attacks and outrageous statements, he can get it quite right. For instance, what he did recently, as to, you know, the remarks made by the French president, Macron, and he was fantastic on that, and I couldn't agree more. Actually, I had to applaud him for his comments. He was saying that Macron is unable to stop the fires in the cathedrals across France, and now he dares to try to teach lessons to the Brazilians about the fires in the Amazon. That's actually pretty average. When they said the fires have increased dramatically, they used the last year as the comparison, but that is absolutely ridiculous, because last year we have very low fire rates, but the average of fire rates, it's actually proving that this year is nothing. There is nothing extraordinary about the fires in the Amazon this year. Even NASA has, in its own report, confirmed that there is nothing extraordinary about what's happening in the Amazon.
Yes, they've called Bolsonaro a fascist since he ran for president, but now they're calling him an environmental criminal, because they argue that his policies on the environment, lessening regulation, wanting farmers to have more rights, has led to these wildfires. And yeah, the mainstream media says they're unprecedented. And Macron was the one who described the Amazon as the lungs of the world, and that it's 20% of the world's oxygen. And I think Trudeau jumped in as well to sort of say, I agree, the two sort of, to use a more polite term, beta males of the G7, they were kind of implying that Brazil doesn't have sovereignty over the Amazon rainforest, that hinting that we might have to take military action to secure the world's oxygen supply. That's sort of what they seem to sort of hint at.
Yes, but we have to bear in mind that the French are not like the English were in during the colonization period. They were terrible colonizers. And if you think about the worst countries in the world, they were countries colonized by the French. One thing that it seems that Macron is not aware of the fact that Brazil is also very powerful, including militarily speaking. I don't think they would have a good time with us if they dare to do such a thing. They're not talking to a small country. And I think Macron should be worried about what's happening in his own country, that he seems to have no power or control over his own people. And they are now burning the churches and causing all sorts of destructions in France. France as a civilization has basically ceased to exist. The country is cannot teach us anything, the Brazilians. Actually, we should be teaching them because we have far more now decent environment, culture, and our forests are not destroyed as in France, because you know that the forests in France have been devastated over the last years. So it's part of a joke for him to be saying such a thing. And certainly there is economic interests behind, because Macron is a globalist, and he is also one of these oligarchs controlling the European Union. And he is very upset that the Brazilians have been able to, against his will and his wishes, to establish a free trade agreement with the European Union. That will certainly undermine the French economy, because the Brazilian economy in many aspects is, even with that socialism that we had in the past, is superior to the French economy in many aspects. And he's very worried of this free trade agreement with the European Union. And what he's trying to do is to use these so-called this devastation and destruction of the Amazon as an excuse to block the free trade agreement that has been going on for such a long time, I mean, the negotiations. And it's just about to be implemented. And that's what he's doing, these things. There are lots of hidden economic reasons as to why he's behaving in such a way. He's not to be trusted. He's a very devious character and one of the worst presidents in the whole history of France.
Macron, he seems to have achieved the unity of the French people, but just against his government, because you have the second and third generation immigrants. They already didn't like the French government, but now you have the white working class and the yellow vests. So yeah, Bolsonaro is exactly right that I'm not going to take any lessons from you. And you also didn't mention the Paris Agreement. Bolsonaro has no interest in maintaining Brazil in that arrangement.
Yes, it's one of the ideas of the Brazilian government is to eventually leave this agreement, but it will depend on how things work. He originally was promising that this would be done immediately, as soon as he became the president. Brazil has not withdrawn yet from the Paris Agreement, but certainly they are, especially the environmental minister is an intelligent man, a very smart person. And he's concerned about real environmental issues and not fake environmental issues, because of course he's aware of the great global warming swindle. So what he wants to do is to stop with the fires in the forests. Brazil is about now to create another law stopping the use of fire to clean the field in the farms. And certainly they also have 50% of all the forests environmentally entirely protected. You cannot touch these forests, which is an area higher than the territory of that small country in Europe called France. So there are more indigenous areas in Brazil than the whole territory of France. So this man is a hypocrite, and he should be more concerned about preserving the buildings in France that are being destroyed by fire set by the rioters around Paris. So it's just so hypocritical what's happening.
Yes, and Bolsonaro, he's called out the fake news that the wildfires are unprecedented, and then the left accused the right of being conspiracy theorists. But there's these rumors going around that Bolsonaro's government started the fires themselves so they could create more farmlands.
It's the opposite. First of all, these people are so deceptive in the arguments, or very stupid, because in the Amazon you cannot have farms. The land doesn't allow this to happen. It's very hot, and it's impossible if you deforestate, if you remove the trees, I must say, if there is a deforestation of the area, there the soil will be too poor to allow the development of agriculture. So basically, only 20, no, less than that, I would say eight, I think it's 8% of the area of the Amazon can serve for this purpose of agriculture. So most, 92% of the area cannot be used for such a purpose. So it's really a lie. It's really very stupid to think that you can use the Amazon to have farm. When, as a matter of fact, that area it doesn't allow for this sort of human activity at all.
There's been plenty of attempts at sabotage of Bolsonaro's agenda. I noticed you commented on your Facebook page, it was a few months ago now, that his presidential jet was found to have drugs on it, and that was a big story that, oh, that looks very suspicious.
Yes, well, there are lots of things about this that are very suspicious because this guy was an employee working for the Brazilian government for many, many years. And guess who employed him? The left-wing government. He was the pilot of Lula da Silva, that president who were really connected with the guerrilla movements and drug dealers. Even the main drug dealing organization in São Paulo notoriously supports the left. Even the name of the main criminal organization in Rio de Janeiro is called the Red Command, and there is also the Red Falange. And these organizations, they are as much as guerrilla groups for the purposes of selling drugs in these big cities in Brazil, but also with a root in the left-wing movement. When those who were arrested by the military regime end up staying in jail together with common criminals, and they actually taught these common criminals to use guerrilla tactics because they thought that they were somehow, by selling drugs to innocent people, serving the purposes of destroying the society and paving the way to a communist takeover in the long term.
Well, the establishment, they're especially worried because, well, Bolsonaro hasn't been able to be controlled. He's, in his first year as president, he's pretty much fulfilled all of his promises. One of the ones that I was most impressed with is defunding higher education institutions that engaged in political activism and indoctrinated students, and also getting rid of all of the cultural Marxism in the public education system, which sort of, wow, I'd love Scott Morrison to do that in Australia. He's, I know that you're a devout Christian. He's promoted Christianity as central to the Brazilian way of life, and he's just gotten rid of all the sort of special interest boards. And I'll make a comparison. In Australia, there's a lot of rights that are granted to Indigenous elders to decide what to do with the nation's resources. In Brazil, Bolsonaro has gotten rid of all that sort of privilege from those self-appointed people.
Well, he's, as I mentioned, trying to reduce the size of the state and also cutting costs. But it's not so extraordinary to cut the costs for education because the previous left-wing government spent so much money on themselves that they were the first to reduce the quality of education in Brazil. The former president of Brazil, Lula da Silva, was proud to be ignorant. He actually used to say that he didn't have to work so much to become president. So why on earth you need to have a university degree? So he was the first to start with this cut. Of course, what the Brazilian government is doing is to put conditions attached to this sort of grants, because over the last 30 years, the universities in Brazil have been taken over by people who are even mentally not very developed, if I can say. They still are in the Jurassic period of communism. Some of them still believe in communistic ideas, and they are actually quite stupid but dangerous people. But these are the people who are educating our children and the future generations. So one of the things the left did, as they do here in Australia, but they did this very efficiently in Brazil, is to work very well through the Long March, through the institutions. And they have populated the universities and schools with the most dreadful characters that you can possibly imagine. So it will take a long time for Brazil to be recovering. But a similar phenomenon that we are now seeing in Australia is also taking place in Brazil, where people can now break through the power of the mainstream media and left-wing academics. They can have people like you and others who are able to provide more decent information, and they get to know more and better what's actually happening.
Yes, he's certainly been the most impressive world leader in that regard because, well, comparing him to Trump, Trump has been frustrated in a lot of his agenda, but Bolsonaro has proved that it's doable. You can break through the mainstream media's grip. You can upset the people who think they control public opinion. And even though he's a nationalist, it's Brazil first. He's setting the example for all the rest of the Latin America and, well, you should say the wider world, that the socialism, the welfare state as it is, a nation can change its path.
And do you know, I was in Brazil recently, Tim. I was a keynote speaker at one of the events there in Curitiba, a beautiful city in the south of the country. And I was absolutely amazed to see people on the streets demanding lower taxes, demanding equality before the law, and even finishing the gathering with the Lord's Prayer. But it was the most amazing thing I have ever seen in my life. To be frank with you, I wish that we could have the people in this country doing the same. Because I have never seen this in our country, here in Australia, people taking the streets to demand small government. It is the most beautiful thing I have ever witnessed in my life. And that gives me so much hope. What I believe that is happening in Brazil is no short than a great miracle.
It sounds so lovely, and that, as you mentioned, like I'd love 100,000 people to march on the streets of Melbourne, demanding lower taxes. That would be fantastic. And
Yes.
yes, as I mentioned, Bolsonaro, he's been in power less than a year, but he's certainly made an impact. But obviously, the problems that have plagued Brazil for decades, they're going to take a bit longer to fully heal. I mentioned at the beginning that there's still people in the public service who are corrupt and going against him. There's still the crime problem, but Bolsonaro, one of his policies has been to reaffirm private gun ownership and obviously some of the poverty as well, and you mentioned equality before the law, so that it is possible for people in the lower to middle class to break into the upper circle.
Absolutely, and that's an important point. That this one that we have made, because he is fighting against corrupt elites, not only in Brazil but all over the world. So we have the globalist establishment, the status quo against him. And of course, people who have been taking advantage at the expense of people's misery in Brazil, my beautiful native country, Now they are going to do everything they can to destroy the government of Bolsonaro. Because we have to bear in mind that Brazil, being the seventh largest economy in the world, where is this all this money? This money are concentrated in a handful people, number of people, who are actually taking advantage of a system that has been causing so much destruction and misery to so many people. But these people remain the government. These people have vested interests to destroy the Brazilian government. So the mainstream media, not only internationally speaking, but nationally speaking, will do everything they can to destroy this government. One of the reasons as to why they would be willing to do so in Brazil is because he also cut money for propaganda, government propaganda. So all these millions and millions of dollars that used to be sent to these mainstream media, also he cut off. He's doing an amazing job. We need to pray that he's going to resist all this attack, because the reason as to why he's being so vilified is all for the right reasons, because he's doing something that's quite heroic, quite brave, and in many ways, quite miraculous.
Yes, he's been unbreakable as president so far. Well, he's been, as I mentioned, in politics for nearly 30 years. He knows how the system works, and therefore he knows how to stay one step ahead. I've appreciated you today coming on to give us a more insightful perspective about what's going on in Brazil behind the sensationalist headlines and the outrageous things that he said. Having said that, I hope that you don't feel the need to migrate back to Brazil, because we need you here in Australia to help fix the problems that we've got here.
Thank you very much, Thien. It's such an honor and a privilege to be talking to you. And I must say that I'm a great admirer of your work.
Oh, thank you. It's always good to hear. And obviously another issue that you've been writing about is the religious freedom debate. As we're recording today, the government's released their draft bill. And I think you've made the point that we should be careful what we wish for, because we might get the Sharia law Islamic Trojan horse. But I'd like to have you back on again to maybe explore that in more detail now that we actually have a concrete proposal.
All right, we still have to read the concrete proposal, but I'm not holding my breath. I'm really worried about this whole thing. But we can have a chat about this another time.
Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
And that's the show for today. There has been even further political developments in the pro-Hong Kong democracy movement, so that will be the topic of our next show. Don't forget to catch up on the latest Detonation episodes, hosted by my colleague Steele Archer, is broadcast live on the Unshackled's YouTube channel, and the episode archive is now on its own dedicated YouTube channel. This episode is premiering on YouTube on a Thursday night, so for our live viewers, head over to the Uncuckables YouTube channel for the next live episode at 8:30 p.m. Melbourne time, and check out the new show website at theuncuckables.com. Remember to counter the fake news and algorithm manipulations. Use duckduckgo.com for your search and InfoGalactic for your information needs. YouTube continues to censor and hide content from nationalist and conservative channels. Demonetization is not enough these days. So James Fox Hickens of The Rational Rise has launched rationalrise.tv, a self-hosted video site which features not only his content, but that of XYZ, Maddie's Modern Life, and The Uncuckables. So it'll be available if YouTube ever decides to, at a whim, delete all of those channels. Don't forget, there is also free speech social media, which The Unshackled is on. We're on gab.com/TheUnshackled. We are on minds.com/the_unshackled. We are at miwi.com/p/TheUnshackled. And we also have our growing Telegram channel on the popular encrypted messaging service at t.me/TheUnshackled. Remember that we cannot produce all the content that we do and bring you all the news that we do without your support. And of course, the best way of supporting our work is to support us financially. We're on patreon.com/theunshackled. We're also at paypal.me/theunshackled. We have our premium membership option on our website, theunshackled.net/membership, and our web donation form at theunshackled.net/donate. We're also on subscribestar.com/theunshackled, and we also have our online store, theunshackled.net/store, with our most popular merchandise. So thanks once again for your company, and we'll see you next show.
Thanks for tuning in to The Unshackled Waves. Please visit theunshackledwaves.net for all the ways to subscribe and follow the show. Don't forget to pick up your free ebook at theunshackledbattlefield.net and keep checking out theunshackled.net for all the latest news and commentary.